I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Sorry, everyone. I was just finishing a Starburst as I...
What color was it?
It was a...
Oh, the red one.
Red one. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on another episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. I'm Dean Unglert, joined in studio by Mark and Easton. And
hold on, I thought you said
okay, but I was going to do a dramatic introduction
okay,
for you.
Okay, go. Well, but I thought you said this guy was single.
It's too late now.
It's I just assumed that he was.
He was cute.
Do it anyway. Do the introduction you were going to do.
Well, it's too late. Vanessa's here, too.
Come on, hype me up.
In studio for the first time since, I don't know when, Vanessa Grimaldi!
Feels good to be back, guys.
Vanessa, it's so incredible to have you back in studio. It's not, obviously, it's not the end of the world that we have to have you call in every once in a while, but just
I mean, I don't like it. I want to be able to touch you.
Your presence, your touch, your energy is all a very welcome thing in this studio. So
thanks,
thank you so much for being here.
Love you. Thanks for the car ride over, by the way.
Yes.
I have something in my eye still, and I was supposed to be real cute for dancing tonight, but...
It was a very windy day in here in Los Angeles. I don't have doors on my car, and it was quite a difficult commute for her. I did say we were initially going to take the motorcycle, and then she was like, well...
No. I love protection. So, no, there's no form of protection when you're on a motorcycle.
And the battery was dead anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Everything happens for a reason.
Anyways, we're here now. Vanessa's in studio. Jared's off doing something with his fiance somewhere.
So the only two single people are in studio.
Lots of information on Jared's whereabouts right now. We have two very special guests. We have Jedediah Bila calling in, who... has quite a few interesting stories that I hope she's willing to share with us. In addition to her, we have Susan Trombetti calling in, who is a relationship expert therapist and has some very interesting and very helpful dating app meeting suggestions for the listeners out there.
We have Jedediah online right now. Jedediah.
Hi.
Right here.
Perfect. Jedediah, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Thank you so much for calling in. How's your day been?
It's good. It's crazy. Book tour is crazy.
That's right. So you have a book.
Oh, congratulations on that.
You have a book coming out.
Thank
do you want to
you.
Do you want to fill the listeners in a little bit on what you've been working on, who you are, and then we can kind of dive into it from there?
Yeah. So I have a book out right now. It's called Hashtag Do Not Disturb. It came out this week. It's how I ghosted my cell phone to take back my life. And basically,
it's the craziest thing.
People might know me. I hosted The View for a while, co-hosted The View for a while. I've, you know, been doing a bunch of hosting, co-hosting over at Fox News. I did a Lifetime TV special, so I don't know where they might know me from, but probably somewhere at some point, saw my face somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote this book straight from the heart. I had an addiction to technology. I was
like we all do.
Oh, I was insane. I was embedded in my phone all the time, my iPad. I wasn't having face-to-face conversations. I was one of those people that was watching a movie while I was on my phone, while someone was talking to me, hearing half sentences here and there. Mm. It was crazy. And I'm a former teacher as well.
Oh.
And I was just watching what this was doing to kids and just observing kids like in playgrounds, like completely, everyone was on a device, on an airplane, everywhere you saw a kid or a child, they were sitting staring into an iPad or a phone or something. And it just got me so terrified. And I started to just look into what it was doing to us. And I started to think about dating and relationships and how messed up they've gotten from all this technology. And I happened to have an ex-boyfriend who had a whole separate life in his cell phone that I discovered and completely spun my head around, like, wait a minute, you know, in the wrong hands, what is happening to all of us in these spaces? Like, what is it turning us into?
So I want to ask, did you have an intuition that something was going on? And how did you manage to find this out?
So I did. I saw some signs, you know, he drank a lot and he had a great family and, you know, there were positives and negatives. And I saw some signs for sure that were little red flags that I say in the book, I fully acknowledge, I chose to ignore, nothing major, nothing, you know, that was, but there were little things that I said, wait a minute, that doesn't quite add up. And a mutual friend of ours said to me one day, have you ever checked his phone? And I was like, what? Ooh. Because truly when I say I was so naive about that stuff. I had never looked at a guy's phone in my life. In fact, I had an overseas relationship when I was young. Somebody, you know, went to Latin America for a year. It never even occurred to me that he would cheat. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I don't know. But I wasn't in that head. That wasn't where I was coming from. So one night, he had a little too much to drink and kind of passed out, and the phone was buzzing. The phone didn't even have a password on it. That's how crazy it all was, and I had never looked at it. And I said, you know what? That I had that friend's sentence echoing in my head. Have you ever looked at his phone? And I picked it up. And I truly, I have never been, so I was in the state of shock. He was, you know, sleeping with other people,
no.
hanging out with other people, all my long parties in the apartment till 6, 7 in the morning, because we didn't live together and I would leave. I had to work, and he used to smoke cigarettes. It used to drive me crazy, and I couldn't sleep in the apartment. So I'd be like, hey, listen, I got to go. And he'd be like, good night, love you. I'd get a call. Well, guess what? I went to bed and there were all night parties all night. He was doing hard drugs, hard drugs. He was selling drugs.
Oh my goodness.
He was. Yeah, it was.
How did he manage to hide all of this?
I cannot tell you how many messaging streams I uncovered, and I genuinely don't know how I was able to. I mean, we spent a lot of time together. A lot of this stuff happened between like midnight and, you know, the next day. I guess he never slept, because when I looked at him, I was like, wow, this guy never went to sleep. Yeah, of course. And it was all in the middle of the night. Like I genuinely still can't fathom how that happened. And I was actually like really blown away, to where I then said, you know, I never blamed the phone. It's not like I walked away from that and was like, oh, these phones are evil. It was just like, wow. What's happening to us with these phones in the wrong hands? Mm-hmm. This is like a gateway to a whole secret life. We don't even act the same way in person that we do on the phone. I mean, I'm guilty of having said things to someone on a phone, on a text message, that I would have never said to their face like that. So we're just like forgetting who we are. And it got me thinking about dating apps. And like, what's happening to us? You used to like meet someone face to face, and all those first interactions were in person. So you could like feel their vibe, you could hear their tone, you made the eye contact, you were kind of like invested in them from second one a little bit, because you had to get to know them to even decide, you know, whether to take it to the next step. Now it's all like everybody's a swipe left, a swipe right. Nobody's invested in anybody, because, you know, you look at one photo on a dating app and you're like, well, if this doesn't work out in 3.5 seconds, I'm not going to bother investing, because there's 500 other people in a 10 block radius, especially in a place like New York City.
Mm-hmm. Is that where you're based?
I'm in Manhattan. Dating scene here was, I got married this year, actually.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask. Congratulations.
Thank you. I got married this year, and I was like, oh, so glad to not be in the New York dating scene. It's so crazy. But, you know, when you go out to these lounges or these bars now, and everybody's like got the phone too. So it's like you're on the date with somebody and their phone and all their contacts in their phone. So all this just started to add up. And I mean, the book goes pretty extreme. I even get into like sex robots, because I had seen an interview on a British talk show and I was horrified. I mean, there was a guy sitting on a couch with a sex doll that he had created, and his wife was like, no joke. And he's talking to the doll, Samantha, he named her. And you know, his wife was waiting in the wings in the segment. You could see her standing off to the side, and he's like touching the doll's leg and like talking about how the doll can go into family mode and read stories to the kids. I mean, I was like, wow, this is crazy. And then I said, you know, I wasn't even sure if I was going to include it in the book, but then I did some research, and it was like half of all men say they would, you know, experiment with a sex doll. And I was like, okay, it's going in. It's
Dean,
going
would you?
In. What happened?
I'm asking Dean if he would experiment with a sex doll.
I'm going to say no.
You should say
no. It's going to be a no for me.
You should say no.
Yeah.
You're alone in a room and they give you the doll. You wouldn't just kind of see what it feels like?
If we're talking like months of being alone, of seclusion with this doll, then maybe I'd make a move on it. But it would take some pretty extenuating circumstances.
Blonde, brunette, like what kind of?
Well, okay.
Mac, PC, does it matter? Okay.
Did I question?
So, guys. Guys, no joke, some of the dolls, it's scary. They look very lifelike, and they look very pin-up-y. Like, it's like all those guys that, you know, X amount of years ago were looking through Playboy. Now, instead of just looking at a magazine, that's what the dolls look like. So it's creepy, and they feel cold, the guy says. And as creepy as it is, you know there's going to be people that, you know, soon are going to be doing that stuff. And then what? Then where are we at now? Now people are just hooking up with dolls. I mean, it's very scary.
Maybe then they can focus their sexual frustration on the doll, their sexual needs and desires, and then they can use their the human interaction.
No,
I'm just trying to defend the doll people here.
Don't justify this.
Okay?
Jedediah, I have a question for you. So in your book, you say obsessive compulsive tech disorder. I don't even know if that's a real thing or if you made that up, but I made it up. You made it up,
I think
a lot of people can relate to that. Do you feel like that became a quote unquote disorder that you had after you found out about this second life that your boyfriend at the time had?
No, I had already noticed. I left my phone in a taxi one day and I was like a lunatic. It was like I had left my dog, like as if I had a child that I had abandoned. I mean, it was crazy. I went from being someone, you have to understand, that used to be really grounded in face-to-face conversations. Mm-hmm. It was like a nature girl. Oh, put me in the middle of nature. I don't need anything, to being this. And I'm not even tech savvy. Like if I can turn the computer on a good day, that's like a major accomplishment for me. So I was trying to show people, like, you don't have to be into gadgets. I'm not, like, the first person at the Apple store for the new phone. Mm-hmm. I just got completely sucked into this idea of, like, being relevant and being plugged in. Mm-hmm. And, oh, if I don't get on Instagram and somebody else in my profession is on there, they're going to gain followers and that's going to lead to jobs. And I'm going to make myself irrelevant and I have to compete with this one or that one. That I got obsessed with, like, managing all this stuff. And I got used to my life just being interrupted all the time with this stuff buzzing. So I set out to, like, you know what? Not only am I going to, like, explain to people all of the really dumb mistakes that I made and how I was missing my real life, but I'm also going to, like, explain why we're all addicted to this stuff, because this stuff being programmed by people in Silicon Valley to get us addicted. Like, these dudes are sitting there and studying, and women are studying behavioral psychology, and trying to figure out, well, how do we get these people into a compulsion loop where they, you know, how many times do they have to hit a button in order to be addicted to a video game? Or let's figure out how to get them addicted to Snapchat streaks or whatever. And we're sitting here like a bunch of puppets. So at the end of the book, people will find, which is the cool part, I think, is where I give some tips as to what I did to kind of, I still have a cell phone. I still have social media. I didn't, like, go and throw my phone in a river and, like, decide, okay, we're going back to the telegraph. You know, I'm a normal 2018 person, but I was like, I'm shutting these notifications off. I'm getting this phone out of my bedroom and it's charging in another room. So I'm not up in the middle of the night on a bathroom break, like, obsessed about what's going on in my phone or answering somebody that's going to give me, you know, anxiety. And then I'm going to be up 3 hours at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm putting the phone on airplane mode when I'm with people I care about so that they actually feel important and I'm not stressed out, like, oh, I have to, you know, have this time with them, but somehow I have to answer 50 emails and see what's going on in my social media all at once. Mm-hmm. So little stuff like that.
I mean, I'm kind of the same way, and there's this new feature. I've not updated my phone yet, but I understand it, that there's this new feature on your iPhone where it tells you how much time the screen was on or displayed or you're looking at your screen throughout a day. And I'm almost fearful of updating my phone because I almost don't want to know what that number is.
No, you have to look, though, because then you'll be scared. You'll do something about it. Well, you have to.
And I'm kind of in the same boat that you were, it sounds like, a while ago, where I understand I'm on my phone more than I should be. But it's like, okay, well, obviously now I need to read your book so I can understand the process to, like, wean myself off it quite as much as I am. But
you have to do it slowly, too. Mm-hmm. Like, don't, it's not the type of thing where you go, you know, I hate when people say, oh, I'm just going to go for a week and I'm going to be completely unplugged. That's not a way of life. That's not a lifestyle. No one's going to completely get rid of their phone. The truth is, the way that the society has evolved, you need your phone oftentimes for work. You know, there's necessities involved. And, you know, I get that people now like the convenience of having a phone in case you have an emergency. It's just about balance. And at some point, I feel like it became all about what was going on your phone and so little of it
Absolutely.
Was about what was going on outside, you know, and in real life.
So I was at a wedding yesterday. I attended one of my good friend's weddings, and she did not allow anyone. We had to check in our phones at the beginning of the ceremony. So it was so nice. And I was able to sit down and actually communicate and connect with people at my table that I didn't have to go on their Instagram to be like, oh, I wonder who they are. I wonder what they, you know, it was just so nice to have that face-to-face communication, which is crazy to say because this is what our world has turned into, just so tech involved.
But what about all the Snapchats and Instagrams that you
We did none of it. We did none of it.
Oh, you missed out.
There was a photo booth, and I think that's why they set it up.
Did you have to scroll back later and see all you missed during
no,
this?
Oh,
wow.
No.
Wow.
No.
You know, it's funny because you're saying that. We did that at our wedding and our engagement party. We didn't collect people's phones because I felt like people would be reluctant to give it up out of fear, like, oh, what if somebody steals it, mm-hmm. all that stuff. So we had like a little, at our engagement party, we had a sign that said, this is an unplugged event, please put your phone away. And we gave out little cards at our wedding that said, you know, no cell phones, no photos, please. We have a photographer, we have a videographer, we're happy to get you photos. And it's true, everybody is so engaged because it's almost like, when you have to do it for yourself, when you have to make the decision to unplug, it's really hard. But if something happens and you're at an event and all of a sudden somebody else decides for you, like, hey, you're not allowed to do this at this minute, you do it and you're like, wow, this is so liberating. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people felt that way. And I went to a retro 90s party once that I also write about in the book, where they had, it was totally retro, all the music, and they had a photo booth, like an old school photo booth. And it's funny because everybody at that party was in a very retro head and nobody had phones out, but they were all in line to get in that booth. Mm. So I feel like when you remove the phones and you don't have people, like, I hate when I go to a concert and everybody's phone's up. Now you can't even see the show because mm-hmm. it's like everybody's trying to capture it on the phone. So I think it's just like, we need to take a look at what we're doing and, you know, what's going to happen after this if we continue this way? People don't even know how to have a conversation anymore. I don't know if you guys have this experience, but sometimes you'll be like, I don't know who's dating right now. Like, I don't know your history, but like, if anybody's dating, or it's a nightmare. Like, you're...
Yes, it you know, is.
It's scary. And then you got to worry. I mean, listen, when you read the chapter about the ex-boyfriend that I wrote, you're going to be like, oh, I'm looking through everybody's phone.
Well, I got a question for you. So now, knowing everything that you have figured out and learned, what's your relationship with your husband in regards to his technology and vice versa? Like, do you guys allow open?
This is the really funny twist on all this is that I married someone who we dated for like about 3 years. I don't even remember. It was like 2.5 years, and then we're married now since February. He's younger than I am, and the reason he was appealing to me is because he was the guy I dated right after this crazy guy I write about in the book. Not right after, there was about a year in between, but he was the next guy. I was so traumatized, actually, after that guy. I didn't date for like a year. Mm-hmm. And then I met Jeremy, who's younger than I was. And I was afraid at first. I was like, oh my God, a millennial.
How much younger?
Like, going to be so into, he's 13 years younger than me. So yeah. And he's infinitely more mature than me in more ways than I care to share with any of you, but he's amazing. And he is not on social media. He hates it.
I love that.
He does not have an Instagram. He doesn't have a Twitter account. He's not into it at all. One of the first things I loved about him was that he was super open about his phone. Like, he was always like checking, like he'd put his phone away and wouldn't care about it at all. And then when he would take it out, he would like read it when it was right next to me. So it was very open. And I write about our first few dates actually as a parallel, because my first date with him, we spent about 7 or 8 hours. We walked around Central Park. The second date, we walked the Brooklyn Bridge and all around the city. Then we walked the High Line. We were into these like really long walks and talks. I did not see a phone. I can't tell you for how long, like neither one of us even took the phone out. So I got to know him, actually getting to know him. And I was like, wow, at the time, this is so different from the guy I dated before, where that BlackBerry was like literally, I mean, I was on a date with a BlackBerry as well every single night. So it makes a big difference. And, you know, I think people really need to think about, that's not to say you can't find love on a dating app. I don't want to be a hater. I have a great friend, Sarah, who met her husband through a dating app. We used to host together on The View. She's amazing. It can happen. But I want people to remember, like, what you do face to face and your interactions really do make an enormous difference and should be prioritized. You can text, you can, you know, have your phone, but the people you love need to feel like they're important. And you need to remember that, like, all this stuff that's what it's turning people into, to operate almost exclusively or near exclusively inside a device, is really, really scary. And think about kids, anybody who has kids, like, do you want your kids being raised like that? Like, they're not even going to be able to ask somebody out face to face because they're going to have none of those skills. It's scary. It's scary stuff when you really think about it.
Kids definitely imitate the actions of their parents. And if you're on your phones all the time, they're probably going to be doing the same thing. My roommate always jokingly says, you have to disconnect to connect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a pretty important lesson there somewhere as well.
Tell your roommate to read my book.
So is your book out now?
It is out now. Yeah. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, doing a bunch of media actually. We just wrapped the New York week. It came out on Tuesday, and we're going to LA next. So we're going to be bouncing around there. Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Awesome. Well, Jedediah, thank you so much for calling in. We will be sure to check out Barnes & Noble's and look for the book. And like I said, I'm going to read it just so I can learn how to wean myself off of my, what is it, PT, post-traumatic technology? Compulsive.
OCTD. OCTD. Just think of OC, like think of obsessive compulsive disorder, OCTD. And then just add technology in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. got it.
The book is called #Do Not Disturb, How I Ghosted My Cell Phone to Take Back My Life. So Barnes & Noble's, very excited. Amazon. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me. It was a blast.
Absolutely. Best of luck with everything.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I think there's some useful information in there.
You know, it's funny. I have the update on my iPhone and it tells me, it says, hey, if you want to see how much you were on last week, so look at it. And I'm like, that's not true.
No, that's not true.
None of that's true.
But was it because your phone was open or were you on
how does it calculate? I don't know how it calculates it, but I dismiss it in my brain. I am in denial. I'm like, no way I spent that much time.
Can I guess how many hours? Was it hours? Obviously, it's hours.
Well, let's see. I haven't looked at the most recent one yet because I also then decided I'm not going to look at it anymore because it's just going to bother me.
And it's just going to add more time to the phone usage by looking at it.
Exactly.
I'm down 29% from last week.
I was down. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I was down.
It's an update on the app on the iPhone?
Yeah. Yeah, it's called Screen Time.
Screen Time, that's what it is.
So you guys are using it as a tool to improve your, to lessen your phone usage is what you're saying. Or is it just like a knowledge is power? I want to know how often I'm looking at it.
I would not have looked at it at all if it hadn't popped up.
Right.
But it popped up and said, hey, this is how much. If you want to look at it, okay, I'll look at it. And then I denied it.
I definitely like sought it out once that update came through. Because I just find myself like, I'll go home from work and all of a sudden like 3 hours has gone by and I'm not entertained. I haven't learned anything. Yeah. And I was just like, I was just scrolling, you know, it's horrible. Like Instagram, I've spent 15 minutes on that app today.
You have been posting some pretty great Instagram stories lately, though, I must say.
Thank you, Dean. It's at Easton Allen if anyone wants to give it a follow.
I don't even think I follow you.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Well, I'm not going to open my phone right now because I don't want to add more screen time.
I will say, especially as it pertains to dating, though, being on your phone is a red flag, especially in the early goings when you're like, you're trying to learn about someone else.
I dated someone. All he did was he was obsessed with his phone.
What was he doing on his phone, do you think? Because he had been living
a second person,
life.
Like, no, I don't think he was living a second life. Absolutely not living a second life. I think he just had an addictive personality. Mm-hmm. And he was just addicted to Instagram and just addicted to finding out things about him. You know, just things online and stuff like that. And it put a lot of strain on the relationship.
Because would you ever like say like, hey, get
off
your phone.
Yeah.
Like,
and that person knew too. And it's hard to stop yourself, right? Like you go down a deep, dark hole sometimes on Instagram. And you're like, oh, well, I was looking at like this 80-year-old woman salsa dancing. And then she was like doing gymnastics on a beam. And it was just like so deep into her Instagram. Right. And it was like a couple hours went by. But actually, I wanted to bring something up. So do we have time to talk about how pathetic my dating life is?
Well, we have a guest on the line, and I want to get a spot in here.
Which spot would you like to do, Mark?
Third left.
That sounds like one for Vanessa.
Let me try not screwing this one up
again.
Because
I'm not wearing a bra today.
Actually, I haven't unboxed it.
Oh.
But I did get my bra today. Let me see. Dean, would you approve if a woman would wear this bra?
Yes, I would approve if a woman was wearing that bra. I will be honest, I don't think men typically often look at the...
I'm gonna pee.
I don't think men care so much about the look. Obviously, that's kind of more of a female thing.
Listen,
I think support and comfort is the most important thing, right?
Yeah, I travel a lot, and sometimes I just don't want to wear a bra, but I'm like, you know, if ever I do get patted down and stuff, I want to be wearing something that's covering me up.
Reasonable.
So I discovered Third Love, which is basically a super comfortable bra. It's a perfect fit. Thousands of real women have been using this, and they take your measurements. So I think sometimes, like, I don't know if you guys know anything about bras, but you're not supposed to put the clasp on the tightest spot. It's supposed to be like in the middle. So I don't think I was wearing my real bra size for years.
My understanding is that most women are not wearing the correct bra size.
Yeah. So Third Love just added 24 new sizes, making them the industry leader with a total of 70 sizes. The details make the difference, from premium fabrics to expert design. And I'm touching mine right now. Super. You want to touch my bra?
I'm touching it. It's actually
it's
very
super
soft.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
And the color is really great, too. They have like so many different colors. So skip the trip. Just go online. Find your fit in 60 seconds. Online order and try it on at home. It's actually fun, like little. They ask you for like the comfort of your size and all that. So it's actually a really fun thing to do online. So no more awkward fitting in the fitting rooms. which is weird. Like, I went to this one store and they came in and they're like, all right, we're going to take a measuring tape and start measuring your bra. As Dean is putting my bra on.
Dean took his shirt off and now he's trying on
a
bra.
I don't think I've ever seen you naked in front of me. Well, I mean, ladies.
Feast your eyes on my flabby butt.
What is that tattoo on your shoulder? What is the significance of that?
DC.
John Butler Trio cover art.
Not that one, the other one.
John Butler Trio cover art.
Oh, okay.
One of my best friends passed away. And John Butler Trio concert.
That's it. Okay, I think my bra is too big. Too small for you, obviously. So fit finder quiz. That's what you have to do. You go online. You answer a few simple questions to find your perfect fit. It's actually really fun. It takes less than a minute. I did it right before falling asleep. Third Love helps you.
It works, yeah.
It helps you identify your breast size and shape and find styles that fit your body. Third Love has the most sizes of any brand, and they also have amazing colors. I actually do like this color on you. Cups from A, which I feel like this might... No, I think that's a B. Cups from A through H, bands up to 48. Each size is designed specifically for perfect fit. 50% of women fall in between standard cup size. So Third Love invented half cup sizing, which is
genius. Great.
Which, I mean, like, we have that for shoes and stuff. Why can't we have that for bras?
This makes sense.
Right? So Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. Dean is actually wearing his right now. So right now they're offering our listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/Vanessa.
Hey, welcome to promo code.
I'm so excited.
What an honor that is.
Thank you. I'm like, wow. Yep, I've made it. V-A-N-E-S-S-A. Now to find your perfect fitting bra, get 15% off your first purchase. That's Third Love, thirdlove.com/Vanessa, V-A-N-E-S-S-A, for 15% off.
And I have to say, I'm wearing this bra. It's phenomenal.
All right.
Definitely the comfiest bra I've ever worn in my life.
That is really saying something.
I can absolutely say that with absolute certainty.
Oh, my God. So we're now sharing a bra.
Oh, well, come on. Look at all this tubbiness that I got to work out for first. Anyways.
You're the one that took your shirt off.
Well,
we didn't ask you to.
I'll be on Vanessa's Instagram
and
story.
Easton's.
Anyways, we've got a great guest coming up next.
I won't post it. I'll save it.
I'm very comfortable with my flabbiness. It's fine. We have a very great guest coming up next. It's Susan Trombetti, who is an online dating expert, owner of Exclusive Matchmaking for iHeartRadio. And she's got some very great sound advice for people that are currently using dating apps and kind of how to go about that and navigate the most safest possible way. So, Susan, are you there?
Oh, I'm here. Hey there. How are you?
How are you?
I'm fabulous.
Good. So you're joined in studio. Well, I guess you're not joined in studio, but you're on with me, Vanessa, Mark, and Easton here as well. Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited.
Yeah, we're excited too. So... Susan, can you fill the listeners in a little bit more about your background just, and then we can kind of dive into it from there?
Oh, okay. So, I am a celebrity matchmaker, relationship expert, and relationship investigator. Mm-hmm. So, I can actually check out the people that you are dating and vet them before I introduce you. So that's a little about me.
They're distracted because Dean is just wearing
Dean
a bra.
Dean is wearing a bra.
Or is wearing
so
a
I'm
bra.
Like a little, I'm just literally touching
it. One of our sponsors and Dean is trying it on. Just so you know.
We're back. The shirt's on.
He still has my bra on.
I'm fully supported now.
So, okay. So how to stay safe when you meet someone on a dating app? How?
Yeah. So,
I've never been on a dating app, but I'm actually considering it because I've been single for a year.
I think you should.
Yeah. And I'm at a point in my life where I really want to find someone. I think I want to find it so bad it's never going to come. So I'm trying not to think about it. But I think
also
my next
sign up with me.
There you go.
Because you are a matchmaker.
And I'll bet them. Yes, exactly. I know this is like a big topic though, how to stay safe on the dating app.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I guess you guys know that there was like someone charged in June with the murder of Cindy Lou, you know, from like I don't know if I can say which dating app, but and then, you know, there was the other murder this summer.
Oh my god.
So like you guys didn't know that?
I've read some stories. I think there are quite a few, honestly, which is not good. But
right.
But I definitely understand. I can see the hesitation from someone that's on the dating app.
Okay, so I'm not going on a dating app. Susan, you're just going to have to find me someone.
You can. Well, I would definitely find you someone without a doubt. I mean, I have lots, you know, I love fixing people up. So But, you know, if you have to turn to a dating app, just realize, you know, that I think one of the most common sense things that you could know going in, just Googling somebody doesn't, and not finding something, does not mean that you are safe with that person.
Right.
Because, you know, they could have a fake name, right?
Mm-hmm.
This happens all the time. The last time I checked, you know, like serial killers don't put their real information out there, right, on Tinder. And, you know, so people have this false sense of security when they Google somebody. So just like that, that can't be, you can't feel that way. So the number one thing is meet them in a public place, right? I mean, it sounds so basic, but a lot of my clients are like, tell me why again? Why didn't you pick me up at my house? But I mean, it's just really common sense. Meet in a public place.
Yeah, people are too trusting.
Yeah, they really are. And don't get in the car at any time with someone that you don't know.
I always say that. Right? Like, first of all, you never know how the date's going to go. So I like getting there with my own car in case I'm like, oh, you know what? I don't know. Got diarrhea.
Yeah,
got to go home.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I have an excuse to leave.
That would be your excuse.
That would totally be my excuse. And believable. So I completely agree. Just get there. Even the first couple of dates, right? It takes you a while to get to know someone.
Absolutely. I mean, it really does. And I always say, you know, you have to trust your gut instinct on the person.
Yes.
So forget what they're telling you. If you feel that you are in an unsafe situation and you don't know what it is, you know, as women, a lot of times we feel compelled to be nice, right? I think this like Me Too thing is really changing that. We've learned a little bit more to speak up, but we were like told to be nice little girls. And so therefore, if somebody's making us uncomfortable, we have to be polite a lot of the times we feel. No. If your gut instinct tells you something's off, get the hell out of there, you know, quick, right? I mean, that's what you have to do. And, so I don't know how many times you may have gone out and you felt uncomfortable with somebody, but that's really important. And the other thing that you want to do, and you mentioned like, right, you shouldn't be getting in a car with them over numerous days, is that you want to listen to what they're saying over a period of time to make sure that it's actually adding up. You know, they'll tell you one story one time and one the next, right? Because they can't keep their story straight, right?
Yep. And what do you think those stories would typically be in regard to? Just like random miscellaneous things? Or are you saying like specific?
Yeah, they could be random miscellaneous things. The thing of it is you want to make sure that they are telling you the same consistent story. It could be where they work, right? It could be, you know, who their mother is or where they're from. But that's really important. And if you listen, and see, some people just trust too much. And I say before you leap with your heart, you've got to listen with your head. And so if you just listen over time, the truth is really going to come out. And they may present themselves, or, you know, whether it's a female or a male, as this really even-keeled person. But, you know, you'll watch for their temper, you know, that sort of thing. And their, you know, their life story. Everybody has a life story. You know, they'll tell you about that time in college. You know, I mean, this is where you're going to find out. Because what you're really looking for is not just, I mean, I think lots of times they're not serial killers on these dating apps. But they are cons and frauds, right? So, I mean, I just investigated somebody not too long ago, and she suspected that the boyfriend she was dating wasn't really adding up. And all the stories, like his stories were, his college stories, like, you know, being on the golf team and, you know, graduating from the school. And then, you know, they weren't adding up. And I checked it out. Guess what? They didn't add up for a reason, because he wasn't on the golf team, and he didn't graduate from college. And
so how do you investigate? Can you get into that?
Sure. So basically, I am an investigator for 20-some years. I used to liquidate fraudulent portfolios. So I know identity fraud and people that are trying to con. You know, it's almost like my antennas go up immediately. But basically, I have systems where I, you know, have access to, which gets me straight to the bullseye. But a lot of times, you know, the general population doesn't realize this, but you could get a background check on someone. And I'm not saying go out there. It's kind of freaky. You backgrounded somebody, you know, but you can. I don't even know how many states it is for the general population out there, you know, that requires, it's only a couple that actually requires signature. But if you have reason to distrust somebody, I mean, it's very simple. You know, do one of those, like, checks on the internet, and you can find out all you need to know. But I always say that if you just sit around, seriously, this is where your gut instinct comes in. You just listen, and, you know, it'll come out. It's just, if you leap before you should, then this is where you're going to run into trouble. Because, you know, you suddenly, once your heart's involved, you believe that, you know, through rose-colored glasses, right? You'll believe anything they tell you just about.
What are your thoughts on, like, social media deep diving into someone before you set up that date with them? Because I feel like you can learn a lot from someone through their social media.
I think so, too. I mean, like, it's, what was his name? The one who stole Becca's heart, I mean, in his social media. I can't even think of his name, and I watched
Garrett?
The whole season. Yeah. I can't even remember his name. I mean, look, if they would have done a deep dive on him, right? I mean, you would have found a lot of interesting things. And I do think, I mean, come on. If I looked on someone's social media and just saw a lot of really crazy political stuff or religious stuff or, you know, racist stuff or poking fun, you know, body shaming, I think that really, really telltale.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I check someone out as a match, I mean, these are the things that I do, and there are companies that do that. But I will say this, it goes back to gut instinct. I feel like you shouldn't Google somebody, right? Because you're not, if there's the biggest amount of information you're going to get is on a date with your ears wide open,
right?
And no more than two drinks. Because not only are you keeping it classy and sassy, but you're listening. And you're listening to what your inner self is saying about this person and trusting your gut. And you're listening to what they're saying. And, it's, you know, a lot of people just kind of want to pick the bloom before the rose. But you can't do that. And you have to realize, I always think that it takes, you know, a good 3 months before the true person comes out, right? So to me, that's what you're really looking for. Because if you really want to take a deep dive into their social media, yeah, on the surface, you can see some things. But, you know, if it's on their Facebook, and that's kind of old school.
Yeah, I feel like it's a catch-22. Because if you go looking for something, automatically you're going to find something you don't like, right?
Right. That's what I was just going to say, because, you know, we do, you know, there are these people that tag you on Facebook, and we call it the women that are, like, kind of peeing all over some guy's page, right? You're not going to like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of that. And sometimes, you know, that's just some woman that wants to go out with your guy that you like, or, you know, whatever. And guys do the same. But, yeah, so it is a catch-22. And that's why I say at the end of the day, you just have to trust your gut instincts. But I think if you suspect anything, then you could really go to line up the facts.
Right. So I have a question. Would you encourage, you know, I feel like women were very intuitive and we're very in touch with, like, feeling if an energy is off. And if the energy is off, then we're going to dive deep to find out where and why we feel that way. So would you say if a woman is left alone in a guy's apartment, would it be a good idea for her, or if a guy is in a girl's apartment, would it be like a good idea to just scan the place to just see if there are any red flags? And, you know, for me, like, I want to, like, is this guy on drugs? Like, am I going to find drugs in this guy's house? If I do, I'm like out. You won't even know. I would have just left, and I.
Like, if you see a mirror on the coffee table with, like,
some
powder.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, you know, I'm like, could be baby powder. I don't know, but would you suggest it's a good idea to scan the person's personal space?
Well, of course,
not to, like, go into their drawers and stuff, but
snoop. Yeah. Well, I think yes, because A, it's going to reveal a lot about them. I mean, when you walk in. So would I suggest? Yeah, I mean, the same thing I would suggest, like, paying attention to all sorts of cues that somebody is getting, because obviously their home space is very revealing. Like, are they a slob? You know, who's coming to the door? You know, do they live like, I don't know, like they're in a college dorm room?
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely. But I don't think it's going to reveal much except, you know, how immature they might be. For the most part. I mean, I don't think they're going to leave their coke out on the table.
If
you know
got,
what I mean?
Like, Playboy's and I, on the or Playboy things on the walls.
Oh, Yeah, that's definitely, I mean, I've heard of women complaining like that, like they see all the magazines on the table. And, you know, I just feel like if you're bringing home women, you shouldn't be doing that. You should make sure that you at least put them in the closet, right?
No, I would actually appreciate that they're out.
More honest.
I don't, I'd rather, I don't like having to find things out. I'd rather the person that I'm dating just be upfront and honest about something. And for me, it just, it ends up making the relationship end if I find out information through someone else instead of it coming directly from them. So if the Playboy, if they're like off at night with Playboy, then hey, I'd rather know than having to like open up a drawer and he's hiding it.
See, right? There's nothing wrong with it, but I do think there's something wrong with it if it's sitting out on the coffee table. That's like so frat boy or something. I don't know.
Yes,
what
yes.
do you think, Dean?
I agree. That's what I'm saying. I personally would never have any.
He has that blow-up doll, but.
That's stashed away in the closet, though. And I'm upfront about it whenever I go. No, I'm just kidding. But that's kind of like.
You bring her on the date.
Yeah. This is my, no. But you. To this situation, I feel like, Susan, you don't really suggest going over to the guy's or girl's apartment or house until much later on in the relationship anyways, right? So hopefully by that point, you will have all of that figured
out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, like, the first thing that I heard is, like, you're sitting alone in his apartment. And I'm thinking, okay, no, you shouldn't be sitting alone in his apartment. And, but, I mean, if you are, I mean, and it happens, right? Or you go there with friends, and the next thing you know, one of the friends doesn't show up or something like that. Yeah, I think everybody should be on their best behavior. And especially, I mean, come on, like, what was it, like 2 years ago, Playboy didn't even have centerfolds in there, right? So, but I just think you have to be on your best behavior and kind of, I don't know. Listen, this is what I always say. Most people are very traditional. There's only a few people that really aren't. So you have to be prepared for worst case scenario, which is they're going to judge you. And, you know, when dating, I hear a lot of women talk about, well, you know, especially if they're single parents, well, these are my kids and I might as well put it up front and put it right out there and bring them home. And if they last through that, then they're going to stick around. No, you have to kind of have put some romance in the bank first before you like bear all of your, you know, warts and all, you know what I'm saying? So that's how I look at it. But in general, I mean, it doesn't make them a mass murderer just because they have something like that out. But I just think that most people that are con artists, they're going to hide all of that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I have a really interesting guy now that has really preyed on a lot of women. He's just a case that I'm investigating, like I do investigate your date. And he's preyed on a lot of women, and like some of the women, one of the women had wound up in psych wards, but some of the women,
oh my goodness,
you know, have been, crazy. He has like this MO, and they have been tremendously duped. And nobody suspected it because that's just it. They're really good at it. So it's the guys that are uncomfortable, that are nervous, you know, kind of thing. Those are the sincere guys, the ones that smile. And the same thing with women. You know, these are the ones that practice at it, you know, conning you. So, because women and men alike are like
that. It's definitely always better to err on the side of caution because all it really does take is one bad experience to sully the batch for you, right? So it's like you go on 10 good dates online and then that 11th one where you maybe get a little too comfortable or a little too careless, whatever it is, that's the one that goes bad and that's the one that you'll always forever remember your online dating experience from, and the one that obviously could lead to more negative side effects in the future. So I think that's what you're saying. So maybe like a quick spark notes of the top three things for people to be wary of on going on these online dates through dating apps, whatever it is. It sounds like you say meet in a public place, arrive separately, and just trust your gut would be the three main takeaways, is what it sounds like to me at least.
Oh, yeah. And definitely, I mean, I would say tell somebody where you're going and who you're going with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then when it comes to online dating, I think the biggest thing I would say is realize if you mentioned like 10 days, that might be the 11th. No, it's a numbers game. I think you need to go out. You know, you need to go out with like at least 100 people and don't lock it down the first 3 months.
Oh,
yeah,
see,
I mean,
that's my mistake.
A lot of people.
Susan, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to. I'm either single and really single. I'm not talking to anyone and focusing on my career and spending time with my friends and my family. And then as soon as there's a little bit of interest in someone, I'm like all in with them. And I don't know how to keep my options open with other people.
No, you have to keep your options open. Because think of it like this. It takes a while. Anybody's going to tell you that they want what you want. Mm. Anyone will tell you that because you're lovely. They want to be with you, right? And it's all about them getting their needs met. And I'm not talking sex. I'm talking whatever it is. They want to be with you. Well, if someone wants to be with you, you only want to be with the person who is going to make you happy, right? So you're only going to know that over time. Do they want the same things that you want? It's very easy to say, yes, I want that too. Oh my God, you're my soulmate, right? Because you're lovely and having fun and it's a great time. But you need to know that person's really going to be there for you. And that is like the biggest mistake I see most people make. They just lock it down too soon and become exclusive. And it doesn't mean that you have to date someone else, if you like someone. But just don't go there and think it's a risk. Think of how many times you break up with somebody. It looked promising. How many relationship false starts you had where if you would have just kept it open for like 3 months, you would have been fine. And, you'd been on your way. It's like a series of small exclusive relationships going on.
I think,
right?
you have to build a strong foundation before you can start building up. And I think taking your time and building that foundation is very important.
Yeah.
Susan, well, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you so much for obviously giving the advice to us and the listeners as well. We will be sure to put them into practice if and when we decide to jump into the online dating pool. Maybe soon. But
yeah, and you can always sign up at exclusivematchmaking.net.
That's right. Yep. So if there are any listeners out there that want to sign up, exclusivematchmaking.net. Vanessa Grimaldi, if you want to sign up, it's exclusivematchmaking.net. I might make an account
Please,
for you.
Vanessa.
But Susan, again, thank you so much for the advice. We definitely are very grateful to have you on. And obviously, if it can lead to someone being more safe, that's obviously very, very important as well. So thank you once again, and we will be in touch
Vanessa.
Through Vanessa. Yeah,
yeah, please do. Love to have you. All talk
right.
to you later.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Well.
Do you still have my bra on?
I was just going to give an update that Dean is still wearing
the
bra.
He didn't even loosen the straps.
So
oh, did you? Yeah,
he put his shirt back on, but over the bra.
And you can't even tell I'm wearing a bra.
There you go. Third love.
I think I probably have a cut, like a 32A, 34A maybe.
Yeah, I don't even know what size this is. It looks my size.
Anyways, the point being, Third Love bra is phenomenally comfortable.
Phenomenal. You know what else is great?
I mean, look how cute.
Yeah, super cute. What else is great, Mark?
That new podcast, Spit. Are you familiar with that?
Well, I am, but I would love for you to fill everyone else in.
Well, do you know 23andMe? Of course you know 23andMe.
Yes.
And has anyone done 23andMe?
I've done 23andMe, yes.
I have as well.
I was just talking to someone in my Uber, guest at the wedding, and they were saying how they want to do 23andMe. Actually, no. It was Jason. It wasn't a guy in my Uber. It was Jason from the show.
Oh, Jason, the guy that you're supposed to be going on dates with, right?
Jason who? The new Jason? Jason Tardik?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hot commodity. First Tanya, now Vanessa.
Yeah, wow. He gets around.
He's like, no. We met up this weekend, and he was saying, I'm like, well, what's your nationality? Because he looks Italian. He's like, I'm everything. He's like, and I want to spit in a cup and see what I am.
Well, 23andMe can help you do that.
And that's what Spit is. It's a new podcast from iHeartRadio with 23andMe where they focus on the 99.5% that we all have genetically in common.
We are not divided. We seem divided, but we're all people.
Did you know that humans share 66% of their DNA with a banana?
What?
I did not know that.
Yeah, roughly something like that. And so, yeah, people are 99.5% the same, basically, on a molecular level, something like that. It's just crazy to think about. But anyways, yeah, so check out Spit. It's the podcast that discusses how science and DNA plays a role in our society, our lives, how your DNA story can be experienced today, and a whole lot more.
You're correct. 60%. Humans and bananas share 60% of DNA.
I was just shooting from the hip with that.
Very
one,
nice.
Too.
It's right there.
Anyways, the host, Baron, how do you say this?
Baratunde Thurston.
Baratunde Thurston sits with the biggest artists and influencers of our time, including John Legend, Wyclef Jean, Pete Wentz, Vanessa Grimaldi.
Wyclef Jean.
Wyclef Jean.
Oh, my bad. Join us and subscribe to the Spit podcast. Learn more about the DNA found in our spit. Understand who we really are genetically and how we are connected to the world around us. Listen to full episodes now on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
To me, some of the coolest stuff is it tells you things about yourself. Like it said that you probably have detached earlobes, and I do have detached earlobes.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Things like you probably have a fear of heights, etc.
Yeah, they can tell all kinds of stuff from your saliva.
I've taken the test. As we've said before, I'm 100% European, 100% white.
Yeah,
which
me
I'm
too.
A little upset about.
It's not great.
I really want to give the test to one of my siblings and just see if it's a perfect alignment.
We have extras if you want another one.
Oh, I want to do it too.
We have them.
My last name is Grimaldi, and the princess of the royal family of Monaco is Grimaldi. So I want to know if I'm royalty, guys. You might be sitting with royalty.
Now, can we tell that in there? Because it'll tell you that you're Italian.
It'll tell you if there's some important person you're connected to.
Oh, really? Right.
Yeah.
There's a scare factor to it too, where it's like, we got a result back, and click here to figure out if you're more or less likely to get Alzheimer's when you go.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
And the 30 seconds where like the page is loading, you're like, shoot, like, am I gonna have Alzheimer's?
And you forgot about it?
Fortunately, but I'm just saying there is like a scare factor to it.
Yes.
Fortunately, my results came back more or less positive.
I am slightly elevated for late onset Alzheimer's. Gotcha. So they really couched it. So I think I'm okay with it.
They couched it?
They did.
What does that mean?
They softened the blow. They said
okay.
Late onset and slightly elevated. So I'm like, oh, I can live with that, I think.
I can lose my memory when I'm like 90, 95 and be okay with it.
But they can also, and it's up to you if you want to find this out, but you know that gene that people have that tells you if you're more likely to get certain cancers?
Yes.
They can tell you if you have that or not,
right.
Which some people want to know, some people don't.
Right.
It's entirely up to you.
Right. Well, I was scared of that too because cancer runs in my family, of course, my mother. I have an aunt who had cancer, an uncle and all that kind of stuff. But all of those results came back. I know it's obviously not an exact science.
Sure.
Because how much can you gather really from saliva? But it's very, very accurate. And it's like, just because it says you're less likely doesn't mean you're not going to get it kind of thing.
Right.
But anyways, check out Spit. Check out their podcast. It's really cool to see kind of how we're all the same but different.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And while we're here, and before we get to Vanessa's love life, which I know she's dying to tell us about him.
Doesn't exist.
Can you talk about Thrive Market for a second? Because they're doing some phenomenal stuff over there.
I've spoken about how like I'm back into this whole like I went to Bali and the food there is just it's non-GMO, like everything you can like have an actual connection with the food that you're eating. And so I got back and then someone was talking to me about Thrive Market. So Thrive Market is a revolutionary online marketplace on a mission to make healthy living easy and most importantly, affordable for everyone. You can shop for thousands of the best-selling non-GMO foods and natural products, always at 25 to 50% below retail prices. You can get everything you need, non-GMO foods, snacks, vitamins. You can get supplements, personal care products, eco-friendly cleaning supplies. The list goes on and on. Safe and non-toxic beauty products, kitchen staples, even organic baby food, which is great, kids products, and so much more. And it's all shipped straight to your door. Filter the catalog by your values and dietary preferences, whether you're a paleo, gluten-free, vegan, kosher. What's ketogenic?
The keto diet. That's a big one right
now. I don't even know what that is.
It's like a high-fat, low-sugar. No sugar.
Oh.
No sugar and no carbs.
Wow. So clearly they have it all. You can shop for 90-plus values, also including non-GMO, sustainably farmed, fair trade certified, BPA free, and more in just one click of a button. No more reading labels because Thrive Market does the homework for you, which is great because I tend to eat sometimes things that I shouldn't. And my friends are like, oh, like what's the calorie like? Or what are the ingredients? I never read the label.
You just eat it.
I just eat it, which is terrible. But now Thrive will do the work for me. They're the largest retailer in the country that sells exclusively non-GMO groceries. Get 25% off your first order plus free 30-day trial. Keep in mind, Thrive Market's prices are already up to 50% off. And now they're giving you an extra 25% off your first order plus free 30-day trial. That sounds like quite the deal.
Amazing.
Many of you will be making a grocery run this week or this morning or right now. So why not give Thrive Market a try and shop from your home? Head to thrivemarket.com/Dean.
Woo!
You got this one, Dean. And get 25% off your first order plus free 30-day trial. No code is necessary. Shop around and the discount will be applied at checkout.
I love Thrive Market.
ThriveMarket.com/Dean.
/Dean.
I'm pretty bad at grocery shopping, so it's nice to have a place like Thrive Market that can help me out. I really do appreciate it.
I mean, I love doing groceries, but I also sometimes don't know what I'm ordering. And I mean, I don't know what I'm buying, right?
Because
I don't know,
right.
Like...
And I always just buy the same stuff over and over again, so it's nice to have a curated...
Yeah.
Like,
get out of that rut you're in.
Oh, yeah. You guys saw me take my shirt off earlier. It's not
I didn't get a great view because of the monitors. Good.
I mean, just go on my Instagram and straight on.
Yeah. Can't wait to... It's, I don't know.
All right, Vanessa.
Yes.
Your love life.
Fill us in.
I mean,
well,
I want to.
Let's start with the wedding that she was just at this past weekend.
Yes.
Yeah.
So do any of you watch Big Brother?
I have. I didn't watch recent seasons.
Okay, so Jessica Graf and Cody Nixon were on Big Brother. I don't even know what season they're on, but they met on Big Brother, both going on to win and not thinking of having a showman. They ended up falling in love. got off the show, applied for The Amazing Race, ended up winning $1 million on The Amazing Race, and got engaged soon after, got pregnant, and they're now married. They said their I do's yesterday, and so she's, I don't know how many weeks pregnant, but lovely wedding, and it was just so nice, I guess, to be reminded that love does exist.
Aww.
Did you cry at the wedding?
Oh, God, yes, I did.
Continue, sorry.
But it was a lovely wedding, and like I said, we were asked to give our phones up at the beginning of the ceremony, so it really forced us to just be in the moment and enjoy each other's company. Danielle Malpe from my season was there, Caitlin Bristow was there, and then some people from Big Brother, too, so it was just nice to
Didn't last connect. Week you said that you would take me as your plus one?
I did.
What happened to that?
I had someone else.
Well, tell us about this person.
Oh, well, I'll do it on a separate episode.
Oh, boo.
Yeah, I agree with the boo.
Come on, I always talk about my dating life. We'll
tease it then. So next week's episode, which will be next week, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Next week's episode, Vanessa will do a deep dive on this man that she took to the wedding with her.
Do we know this man?
Listen, maybe some of you might.
Oh, good.
Okay. I'm excited to hear about it.
But, you know, I'll also talk about this last, like, guy that I was dating and how it didn't work out. We'll talk about that in the next episode.
In a safer environment than this one because there's three guys and one girl.
Exactly. When we were off air last week, I was talking about how I was dating this guy, right? Who was I talking to about this? Anyway, that doesn't exist anymore.
So no more dating for Vanessa.
You know what I found? Every time I update you guys off air about my dating life, it ends up failing like a week after or 2 weeks after.
Oh, that's
so
not
I'm
good.
Not telling
that's
you.
That's in your head. That's not true.
Yeah.
Here's the question: Was this guy that you went to the wedding with? Has he been part of a nationally televised reality program?
No.
No.
I feel like I'm hyping this up, guys.
No, you're not. You're not hyping
it
up enough.
No, I am.
Was it a date though? Was it clear to both of you that it was a date?
It sounds like yes. It sounds like he was just as excited to be there as she was to have him there.
That's nice. Okay.
Yes.
Did you guys kiss each other?
We did.
Did he kiss you?
There was kissing?
There was kissing.
There was kissing.
There was tongue?
Definitely tongue.
Oh, my gosh.
That's big news.
That's big news.
Big freaking news.
Excellent.
All right, and after the wedding, you guys went out all together in Hollywood, right?
No, that was the day before, and I know where you're getting into.
Yes, you do.
That was the day before. No, after the wedding, we were so tired, we all went back home and slept.
Okay, so this trip to Los Angeles, you had spent some time with some other Bachelor Nation people.
I met some new people from Becca season.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I met Blake and Jason.
Okay.
And I met Jordan.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Is he?
He's funny.
Okay.
And what was his name I was telling you in the car? The tall guy that was on...
Grant.
But he's not. He was not on Becca's season, but I met Grant as well.
And Daniel McGuire.
Yeah. So it was
a real interesting mixing of like seasons and...
Yeah. And then there was also a new couple off of the new Big Brother season. Angela and Tyler. Lovely. I feel like I should go on... The relationships actually end up working out for these people.
Were there any other relationships or sparks flying that night in Hollywood that you
noticed?
No,
if you're asking about Jason and I, no.
What about any other people that were there as well?
If you're asking about Jason and I?
Well, wait, she had a date the next night, so that wouldn't work, right?
Well, you know what I'm talking about.
I know. Well, why don't you tell me what you're talking about? I know what you're talking about.
Were there any sparks flying between a certain runner-up of the most recent season and a certain... foreigner from a past season as well that might have also been on the same season of Bachelor in Paradise with me
that you dated?
That I dated, yeah.
Well, I think I honestly don't know, but
sparks flying between Blake and Christina is what we're talking about.
Well, Christina was with us.
Okay.
But I don't know if there were sparks flying.
I don't know.
You didn't witness any sparks necessarily. This is not your story to tell.
It's not my story. But they weren't lovey-dovey with each other.
Okay,
I can tell you that.
Just
they weren't
from an
holding hands.
Perspective.
They weren't like kissing and stuff. And I mean, I was sitting next to Jason. People probably thought I was dating him.
I mean, you are dating him.
I'm not dating Jason.
So Jason's
was
not the guy that you made out with the next night.
No.
Well, not we. Yeah, not made out with.
Not yeah, the pert thing.
Right. Yeah. The what thing?
The what?
Okay, so I guess, so how was that though, going out with everyone? Because it's like always kind of a big endeavor to go out with that many people from the franchise.
It was nice. I mean, I'm so far removed from what's happening in Bachelor World and like all the gossip and who's dating who. And
it sounds like you're more ingrained in it than I am. You're going out with them,
your best friend is Nick.
The stars tonight. Nick and I are great friends, yeah.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean anything.
Well, I mean,
your
like,
best friend's Taylor.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
What's your last name?
Nolan.
Nolan. Why did I? I was yeah. Taylor Mocha. That's obviously not her last
no,
name.
No. Yeah, I just. So I guess I'll kind of get into it. I was dating someone and I honestly thought, hey, this is like the guy. I like this guy, but I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere.
This is the guy you've talked about on the show before very vaguely? No,
that guy. I don't think I've ever mentioned anything about this guy. Oh. That's how much I was like, I know it's not going anywhere.
Right.
And then last week he just drops the ball, was like, I don't think I want kids. And I'm like, or I don't know if I want something about kids. And I'm like, dude, who is even thinking about kids?
Mm.
And I don't know if that was like his way of saying, I'm not into you anymore. Mm-hmm. Let's stop. Probably, right?
No, I'm agreeing.
Yeah, Easton is like, yeah. Yeah, that's probably it.
It seems odd to blurt out of context. Were you talking about kids at the time?
Never.
Never once.
He brought up kids.
So he got some sort of commitment phobia, that's how it came out.
But
it manifested itself.
The thing that annoys me the most, and actually it's kind of what Susan talked about a little earlier, was early on with Vanessa, he was saying, I can't wait to have kids. I'm so excited to be a father. And now he comes out and blurts out this.
Yeah. Like, I mean.
Well, that's strange.
Right. So, and I didn't put any form of pressure on. And I even said, I'm like, I never thought I was going to get anywhere serious between us. But anyway, I'll next episode, I'll get really more into conversation about that.
Good tease for next week.
Yes.
While we're here.
What's up?
For this week.
Mm-hmm.
And since it's very topical in the news right now.
Oh, Pete and
would you care
to
comment on Pete and Ariana?
I found this out while I was at a wedding yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, love exists. And then they end up, Pete, what's his last name? Davidson? And Ariana Grande. I was actually surprised.
I was surprised as well. It seems like the internet had like a resounding, we saw that one coming.
I was surprised only because he was on the Stern Show a couple of weeks ago and really, at this point, maybe 10 days ago.
Hmm.
Talking so eloquently about his love for this woman.
You listen to Stern?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And how they'll make it work through anything and how she's the greatest and how it just seemed okay with those two. And then she was there at NBC on Saturday night for Saturday Night Live. Hmm. And then Sunday we find out it's all over. It was very strange. I was kind of taken aback by it. Having said that, I never really had high hope from this from the beginning.
I did.
When you first hear about this. You did.
I did. I'm a hopeless romantic, and sometimes like, hey, I got engaged off of The Bachelor after meeting someone for 3 months and barely getting any time with them, and I actually thought, this is going to work. So why do we think sometimes you dated someone for 5 years, and then you get engaged, and then you get married, and that's the person you're meant to be with, and, you know, like, sometimes relationships speed through things quicker.
Sometimes, but don't those have a higher possibility of failure?
I don't know.
It's like the life cycle of a star. It starts out, becomes like this bright, burning, fierce giant, and then it collapses on itself like a black hole.
That's a great analogy.
It's beautiful, Dean.
Thank you.
That's actually really good.
Anytime I can add in a cosmic reference, I'll definitely be sure to. I'm a little sad because especially like Pete Davidson gave her his father's dog tags from when he was a firefighter back in New York, which is like a big touching thing.
That's a big deal, yeah. The tattoos, so many tattoos.
A lot of tattoos.
Oh, he has tattoos of Ariana.
They both have tattoos for each other, but he has her little silhouette on him, like with the Playboy bunny ears.
I think that one's covered up at this point.
Oh, it is.
Is this like a break, or like we're going to go our separate ways, but figure it out?
What I read was break. But who knows? I mean, she has a song called Pete Davidson on a new album. I mean, how
and
crazy.
And that's funny. He was on Saturday Night Live and was like, dude, you guys know I have no royalties on this song. So if ever we were to break up, he's like, and we will. He's like, no, we won't. He's like, if ever we were to break up and then like I'm shopping at like Costco and I hear the song Pete Davidson come on, like I have no royalties on this song.
Well,
that's so funny.
I think it'll be okay. But I will say, like, Ariana's obviously had a tough year with the whole Mac Miller thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when was the shooting?
A little over a year ago.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's interesting, to Mark's point, that they both are talking so highly of each other publicly, and then within a matter of hours, days, it just collapses.
Well, listen, being in the public eye, Nick and I, we knew we were going to end our relationship before, obviously, the statement came out. But that was like a time that we wanted to, you know, we didn't want people to know before we were ready to make that statement. And maybe wherever, you know, she had an appearance, maybe those things were pre-booked and planned.
So, okay, so here's the situation for you then. You and Nick have privately decided to separate, not public yet. You get booked for an interview before you publicly
announce separation. I wouldn't do it.
say you couldn't get out of it. Mm-hmm. There's no way to get out of it.
Okay.
It was with Diane Sawyer on 2020.
Yes, you're 100% going to
interview. Oh, yeah, if I'm on 2020.
Do you sit down and when she's asking you questions, how's your relationship with Nick, blah, 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 would you answer positively or would you?
I would be honest. I mean, I was honest from the get-go about how hard I was coming off the show. I would be honest. I don't know. Like,
that's the point I'm trying to make is, do you think that the pressure of the interviews that they're having with whomever it is, that they're talking the other person up because they have like an obligation to almost in an interview? You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. Mm,
mm-hmm.
And then like that's kind of why like it seems like it fell apart in out of 24 hours. But in reality,
that's true. He's not going to go on Stern and say, well, it's not going great. Right. I'll be honest with you.
Well, things I feel like on Stern, you could do that.
You could, but I think that would end it.
Yeah.
100% it would end it.
Yeah.
Then they maybe want to end it on their own.
So what was it? I didn't read the article. What was it? It was just moving too quickly? Way too much
too
soon?
Too fast
soon?
Is what it said, yes.
Too much too fast.
Yeah, but there weren't a lot of details.
Yeah, I don't see why they would have details. But that just means Ariana Grande is single. Gives me some hope.
You know,
but it's interesting because you guys have both been through breakups that People magazine cared about.
Yes. Yeah, isn't that weird?
It is kind of.
I'm like, yeah, wait, what? Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
So, but you're saying you break up and then the statement comes out later. So that's why I find it weird that they were together on Saturday night backstage in NBC and then Sunday the statement comes out. Like she could just stay home. No one would have said anything.
So maybe, this is my analogy. Maybe they're like, we're not ready to, you know, when you're just like, oh, let's take a step back and reevaluate things. In the public eye, people, it's black or white. Like, the area of gray, fans don't want that. They want to know, like, are you in or are you out?
Right.
So maybe they're, like, out to the public. Like, we're done with each other, but they're actually still going to...
You look at, like, G-Eazy and Halsey, they called it quits, and then they, like, secretly got back together, and now they're publicly
So
together.
It's almost a conspiracy, kind of.
I wouldn't say a conspiracy.
But
just...
they're faking their breakup to get the glare off of them a little bit, get the spotlight off of them.
Or maybe they appreciated the spotlight so much, because when they announced their relationship, every day E! News posted, like, three pictures of them.
Yes.
And now that people are talking about them again, and then maybe, like, that's their plan to talk about them. Granted, Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson, enough people are already talking about them.
Ariana, Pete was nobody before she came along.
He was still, like, a regular on Saturday Night.
Yeah, as a regular.
Yeah, but he's...
So is Beck Bennett. Nobody ever talks about Beck Bennett.
Who?
Exactly.
Who's that?
That's a good point. But I do... that's an interesting theory, like a conspiracy theory, that maybe they're announcing a breakup so that way they can, under the radar, kind of like work on the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that's true. I like them together.
I really like them together, too.
I have an email for you, too. It's from Lavender.
Oh,
beautiful name.
I love that beautiful name. It's so relaxing.
She says, I was heartbroken last year, and since then I've had a lot of pretty crappy dating experiences. I'll admit to having trust issues when it comes to guys, and I keep my guard up. My current situation is I'm not seeing anyone or interested in anyone right now. I have a 1-year-old daughter about to pick up a second job, go back to college next semester. I'm so busy trying to find time to work out, sleep, run errands. I don't have time to think about going on a date. When I eventually do meet someone I'm genuinely interested in dating, how do I approach that? What do I do? I'm only 19, but I do want to get married eventually and have one or two more children and definitely want to still be in my 20s, early 30s when that happens. Mm. I'm letting God take the wheel on that one, not trying to plan out my future too much. Help, I really suck at dating.
Oh,
that was a left turn for me halfway
through
this email.
I like circled that. First thing that popped up when I was reading this is... When she was saying, I want to have one or more, Lavender, when you're saying, I want to have one or more children, one or more, two more children, and definitely want to still be in my early 20s or 30s, scratch that out. Like, put that into a ball, throw it out. Having a timeline is so disappointing. I'm 31, super single. I want those things too. And I know it'll eventually happen when it happens, but having that timeline is just going to put so much stress on you, on yourself, and you're going to end up with someone that you might not, you shouldn't,
that's
possibly
really true.
Might not be
that's
with.
That's true.
And the fact that you're 19, girl, you got so much time, and I hate when people tell me that. I'm 31, they're like, oh, you're young, you have so much time. But when I was 19, people would tell me that too, because I wanted those things. I wanted a family, I wanted to date, I wanted to find someone. And looking back, I'm happy I went through the heartbreaks that I went through and the experiences that I went through to be able to be the woman that I am today. It all makes sense. So my advice is, if you're good job for going back to college next semester and focusing on yourself, you have a 1-year-old daughter, God bless, just enjoy this time to yourself, I would say. And
I will say the one thing that she probably doesn't want to hear is that it's going to be difficult for her to date as a single mother.
I never said that.
No,
yeah.
I'm saying that.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be, it's like, as a 19-year-old man, I could not imagine dating a girl my same age who had a daughter because of the added responsibility.
Right.
I can barely take care of myself. Then I can barely take care of myself now.
Depends where you live, though. Do we know where she lives?
I don't know where she lives.
I mean, if she lives in California, that's a different story, but...
It's just so much for a 19-year-old to have on her plate. This is a this is a very full plate for
and
a teenager.
And she sounds lavender. You do sound like a very strong woman.
You sound fantastic, and you sound like an amazing catch for anybody out there. And that person is out there, and you'll find that person when the time is right. I would say the fact that you emailed this podcast about this means you're stressing about it.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't be. And I know that you can't just turn that off. But focus on what you need to focus on. Focus on that wonderful daughter of yours. Focus on the jobs. Focus on college. Focus on you. Mm-hmm. Everything else is going to fall into place.
Focus on this podcast. Because who knows? Maybe we'll help you get to have
maybe,
that relationship.
Maybe.
But that, I mean, that's the unfortunate truth, is it's going to be hard for her to date at that age. But again, yeah, don't focus on dating someone if and when that person comes along. They'll fall into your life as seamlessly as it needs to happen.
Just be the best lavender you can be.
Absolutely. I love that name.
Well, anyways, that'll do it for this week's episode. I take it, right?
I think that'll do it.
That'll do it. Big thank yous to Third Love. Go to thirdlove.com/Vanessa now to find your perfect fitting bra. I'm wearing her perfect fitting bra on me, and it fits me pretty well. Get 15% off your very first purchase. Be sure to check out Spit, which is a podcast by 23andMe on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Big thank you to Thrive Market. Go to thrivemarket.com/Dean and get 25% off your first order and a free 30-day trial. Big thank you to Susan Trombetti, who is with exclusivematchmaking.net. Be sure to put those online dating tips into action. Of course, thank you to Jedediah Bila. Be sure to check out her book, #DoNotDisturb, How I Ghosted My Cell Phone to Take My Life Back, in bookstores now. Be sure to check it out. Big thank you to Vanessa Grimaldi. For being here in studio. We love it when you're in here. You're the absolute
so great to have you here.
I want to leave. But hey, guys, tune in to this week's episode and next week's episode, because next week I'm going real deep into my dating life. And
so next week it's going to be just Vanessa.
Yep, just me.
Hosting all on her own.
But we've got some really good people calling in.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Very excited about it.
Am I going to be here for that one?
Sorry?
Am I going to be here for that one?
You better be.
Can't wait.
Should maybe just make it an entire woman.
Well, I mean, there's something studio to be said for that.
Yeah. I think Amy's going to be here.
Okay.
So, I'm going to dive deep into my dating life.
I'm excited to listen to it. I'm not going to be here. I'm going to be in Mexico. But be sure to email us, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. That's the email address, right?
That's it. Always has been. Always will be.
We love hearing the emails. Best of luck to you, Lavender. Anyways, yeah, tune in next week for Vanessa Grimaldi's solo episode. I'm excited. And you should
so
be too.
Am I.
Maybe next week we'll see.
Who better to host Help I Suck at Dating?
I don't think there's anyone more qualified.
I'm not even insulted.
Tune in next week. Help I Suck at Dating.
Love
Maybe
you guys.
We'll suck a little bit less. There we go.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.